B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Like, we're trying to bring baseball back during a pandemic that's killed 130,000 people. We're way worse off as a country than where we were in March when we shut this thing down. And, like, look at where other developed countries are in their response to this. We haven't done any of the things that other countries have done to bring sports back. Sports are, like, the reward of a functioning society, a functional society. And we're just, like, trying to just bring it back, even though we've taken none of the steps to flatten the curve, or whatever you want to say, to, like... We did flatten the curve for a little bit, but we didn't use that time to do anything productive. We just opened back up for Memorial Day. We decided we're done with it. Like, if there aren't sports, it's going to be because people are not wearing masks, because the response to this has been so politicized. Like, we need help from the general public. If they want to watch baseball, like, please wear a mask. Like, social distance. Keep washing your hands. Like, we can't just have virus fatigue and think it's been like, well, it's been 4 months. Like, we're over it. This has been enough time, right? We've waited long enough. Like, shouldn't sports come back now? No, there's things we have to do in order to bring the stuff back.
Hour number two here, Felger and Mass. Mike's out today. Jim and Joe Murray both here. Jim Murray alongside Joe Murray giving us headlines from the Crystal Chamber. I don't know why that makes me laugh. As you know, Murray, nobody makes me laugh like me.
Yeah.
I can make myself chuckle like nobody's business. But something about him sitting in that room over there behind glass just cracks me up. It's like, we're going to keep you in your fishbowl over there, Joe.
Room has like four permutations of names.
Seriously, hermetically sealed. Joe Murray in the hyperbaric chamber.
Hot box, I've heard
the
of
hot box, baby.
Yeah.
So that is Sean Doolittle, closer for the Washington Nationals. I have a new favorite in baseball. I love this guy. Oh, boy, do I love this guy. I thought this was one of the best things anybody said over the weekend. It's the best thing I've heard an athlete say in a long time. It was insightful. It was right. Now, there are a couple of things that I thought he was wrong about. But overall, let me start here before I get to Doolittle in particular. Asking both Jim and Joe, what do you think the chances? So again, today is July 7th.
Yeah, they're supposed to start 16 days from now.
The schedule came out last night.
Yeah.
Okay, and the first games are to be played on Thursday the 23rd, I believe it is, right?
Yeah.
Thursday the 23rd. Yankees and Nationals in the first game. Dodgers and Giants in the second game. That's the West Coast. Both games to be on ESPN. Thursday night, the 23rd. That's when baseball is supposed to start, 16 days away. What do you think the odds are, Murray? What chances do you give us of having a season?
I think it starts. I think it would give you 100% chance of the season starting. Getting through it, less than 50%.
Okay. Joe?
I think they get to the season. And as Jason Mastrodonato from the Herald said yesterday, he gives it a 25% chance to finish the season.
I mean, what a disaster this thing is. What a freaking disaster. Teams can't even get on the field yet because they're not getting their test results back. This happened to the Astros. It happened to the A's. A number of clubs. The Nationals, another one.
Cardinals. Yeah, Nationals. They all canceled workouts yesterday because they didn't get their lab results back. And Joe and I talked about it yesterday. I think you can even make the argument for some of these players, because remember, there was at least five or six unnamed owners, Maz, that didn't want this season to even happen, that they can look around. I think it's fair to question, what is this? Is this on the up and up? Because is this happening on purpose? Because some of these owners actually don't want this season to happen. That, you know, I said yesterday too with Joe, like, I'm with Mike on this. You know, I think there's a hierarchy when it comes to these tests. If I don't get one, that's okay. Give it to someone who's a professional athlete as they're trying to start their businesses up again. Like, I'm for that, and I'm biased because I work in sports media and I'm a fan of sports. I want to see it back. But those guys should get it first, and they can't get them when they're now easier to get. Like, what? It feels like something's afoot, you know?
It is. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So Chris Bryant of the Cubs made a comment to this effect, and similar to Doolittle, said he doesn't have faith or any confidence in the operation, that he was supposed to get test results back Sunday, that he sent Friday, still hasn't gotten them back yet. It might have even been longer. I might be getting him mixed up with someone else. But this is a common story in Major League Baseball. Meanwhile, everybody wants to, in theory, test the athletes multiple times a week, and really, they should test you every day.
But a $1 billion industry, like a professional sports league, like Major League Baseball, it should be more streamlined than it is for, like, a commoner like me or you, you know? And it just feels like, and I'm not usually super conspiracy theorist guy, but this feels like something screwy's going on here, that they can't get this figured out.
I rule out nothing with baseball, Murray. I rule out nothing. Because when it comes to the governing of the game, and I don't put all that on Manfred because the union has so much power. The way the game, it's just a complete bleep show, complete crap show. And they can't even get on the field to work out, let alone to play games. And Joe Murray, just quickly, Eduardo Rodriguez, in theory, the Red Sox opening day starter, now has been diagnosed with COVID-19.
Has been battling, yeah, it was announced today. He is feeling symptoms, where Bobby Dalbec is asymptomatic at the time. Who knows what's been going on with Eddie Rodriguez for years, though, when it comes to the injuries, but they did announce that at least he does have the coronavirus.
Okay, I just want to say quickly, I'm not the least bit surprised by this with Eduardo Rodriguez. Not for a second am I surprised. He didn't show up in camp, and right away say, uh-oh, something's going on there. What the hell's going on? Why is he in camp? Like, immediately, first thing that popped in my head, Darwin's and Hernandez also got tested positive, and I do worry about some of the guys who play overseas, and Eduardo Rodriguez is Venezuelan, Darwin's and Hernandez from the Dominican, because not that we've been all that great about it here in the United States, but I do worry that in other places they're not as equipped to handle it as some of the more effective places. And again, clearly in the United States, we have not been effective either. I have one major gripe with Sean Doolittle, though, and with Chris Bryant, when he says that he doesn't have faith in the testing standards. Your union agreed to them. Your union agreed to it. And if you really have a problem, I'd suggest talking to your union leadership, because the negotiations, and again, I'm not putting it all on the players, but the negotiations went on forever over the money. If you had gotten that sorted out sooner, isn't it possible that you would have had a little bit more time to figure out all these testing protocols, and this thing wouldn't have just been rubber stamped and whipped through there the way it was after they finally came to terms on the money? And even then, they really didn't. Manfred unilaterally imposed it, but they were close at the end. But it took way too long. The whole process took way too long. So now all of a sudden they can't get the testing right. Is anyone really surprised? They dragged their feet for so freaking long. It's just another thing that baseball did to drive you absolutely bananas. And ultimately, to shoot themselves in the foot. So it just astonishes me that in other places around the world, they can get the testing thing down, and we can't. We can't. With, as you said, Maria, $10 billion industry, or $11 billion or whatever the number is now. I don't know how you have faith in Major League Baseball. Mike's in Nashville. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I didn't know that Doolittle guy, but when you played that song clip, I just kept nodding my head the whole time he was talking. Man, spot on. And, you know, I heard Buster Olney say a while back, he's really plugged in. He's been at this forever. He gave it a 5% chance they'll start the season and 0% that they'll finish it. It's a train wreck. Let's give it up.
I mean, again, I'm sorry, Mike, I let you go. I just think the whole thing is a reflection on the ownership and administration of the league. Whether you want to put that on the owners, whether you want to put it on the commissioner, whether you want to put it on the union. The fact is that Major League Baseball is very much symbolic of the way things are happening in the country. This whole idea that baseball is America's pastime and it is the game itself is a metaphor for life, in this case, applies.
Right.
Because it's a complete clown show.
And that's why, I mean, Doolittle said a lot of, you know, I think really pointed and very smart things there in his whole little diatribe. But the thing that really stood out to me is when he just said, what are we doing here? Because I think he feels like how a lot of baseball players have felt, showing up and just looking around and being like, what? This is a cluster. Like, what are we doing? I thought this was going to be more streamlined. I thought we were going to get tested. I thought that we would be getting test results once we did get tested. This is a cluster. What are we doing?
I mean, it's unbelievable. Right. It's really astonishing that an industry that makes as much money as baseball does, still, despite all of its problems, could conduct itself the way it has here for the last several months, both in terms of the negotiations, the testing protocols, the whole thing. I'm just saying the whole thing. Wrap it all together. And you look at it and say, there's no shot they're going to play. There's just no shot. They can't keep... with the way they're being run right now, no shot.
And Maz and Jim, this just coming out a few minutes ago, the San Francisco Giants had to suspend their workouts. They're still waiting on the coronavirus results from over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
This is after Major League Baseball came out yesterday with that stupid letter saying, no, we've had some incidents here. They still don't have the results from the weekend, and it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. The league starts in 16 days.
So I'll tell you what, I'm glad you brought up the Giants, Joe, because I want to touch on a story there too. Murray, I know you hit on it yesterday, Jim Murray. I can't help myself. I got to bring it up.
All right.
Okay, I got to bring it up. It involves the San Francisco Giants. I think you all know where I'm going. Okay, that's next. Felger and
Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I guess the one thing that I'd say is, like, Pablo's role on this team is to do what he's done over the course of the last couple of days and what he has done for this city and this community in the past. And that is to bring positive energy, get big hits, drive the baseball. And those are still the things that we believe he is capable of doing. And already in this short period of time, he's demonstrated. I have a lot of empathy for Pablo and what it must be like to be dealing with this kind of scrutiny. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Gabe Kapler, manager of the San Francisco Giants. That's right. He is a successor to Bruce Bochy, if you don't remember that. Kapler hired as manager of the Giants, fired by the Phillies, became the manager of the Giants, now has to answer questions about Pablo Sandoval looking like Vince Wilfork at third base. I don't know any other way to put it. Okay, so before I turn this into a total referendum on Pablo Sandoval's weight, I'm going to tell you that, generally speaking, we're not going to do that. Okay, I'm all for dumping on a guy for being woefully out of shape as anybody, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger, Zion Williamson, take your pick. Some of these guys, and again, I do hold pro athletes to some sort of standard when it comes to self-care. As it pertains to human beings, well, there are, you know, different cases there. Everybody's wired a little differently, and I never had a huge problem adding weight. Okay, so some people do, like, but a pro athlete, I mean, you got to find a way. You got to find a way.
I mean, he literally had a fat clause in. Was it with the Giants or was it here?
It was with the Giants.
Yeah,
it was with the Giants. I mean, I heard that it got to the point where the Giants had to put someone outside his hotel room on the road because they didn't want Pablo ordering, you know, room service all night. Okay, so now, I don't know if that's true. I'm just telling you what I heard. But I believe it. I believe it because I think, you know, the guy clearly had a problem. He just couldn't keep his weight down. So there are a couple of layers to this story, and that's Kapler, again, defending his weight, much like the Red Sox did when Sandoval was here, and John Henry in spring training that one time telling us, what the hell was it that his body fat was what?
15% or something like
something,
that.
Something yeah, stupid like that, right?
The main thrust of his off-season program was about agility and conditioning. So the only thing I will say is that, you know, he came in with a body fat ratio of
17%. 17%.
Yeah, sure he did.
I knew I was close.
17% body fat, which I didn't buy for a second. Okay, so one element of this story is the tisk, tisk, tisk for people who've made fun of Pablo about his weight, most notably by the guy who tweeted the photo in the first place, Andrew Baggerly, who covers the Giants.
Yeah, for the Athletic.
So,
yeah.
I heard you say this yesterday, Maurice, so go ahead.
I find it, I mean, it's not just the sanctimonious harump, harump, howdy attitude of guys like this that drive me crazy. It's that, dude, you knew what you were doing. Like, this became, because it got co-opted by Barstool, specifically Jared Carabas, who we know and like and covers baseball. And I don't think he calls himself a journalist. He's a fan first. But, you know, I think Jared has the following he has for a reason. I think he's maybe the best ambassador for MLB, but that's beside the point. But Jared takes this, has fun with it, writes the column. But because Barstool, I think, now is looked at as bad and for frat boys and all of this, and they've been demonized here by a lot of the blue check marks like Andrew Baggerly. He feels like, oh, well, no, this was bad, and shame, shame, shame on Jared and others calling themselves journalists, making something out of this. But really, it comes down to Andrew Baggerly himself. Dude, you know what you did when you posted this photo. You know why you posted that photo. It was so that you could get likes and clicks and for people to comment on a professional athlete who showed up completely out of shape in Pablo Sandoval. You know that's why you put that photo up there. So it's just so intellectually dishonest the way that he then tries to turn this around and say, you know, after viewing the reaction to the photo of Pablo Sandoval I shared yesterday, I'd like to express a few things. Start with this. Denigrating or dehumanizing anyone for their weight or appearance is totally unacceptable, and on it goes. But it really is just this veiled shot at Jared and Barstool and be like, oh, how dare you? How dare you do this? When, in fact, people did this, they searched through Andrew Baggerly's Twitter history, and he himself had also fat-shamed other players. So it's just this culture war that is going on in this crazy world that we now live in. It just was so disingenuous that it was like, dude, I thought he was the biggest a-hole of the weekend on Twitter, and that's saying something, especially when you had Peter King trying to, you know, harump, harump, and finger wag at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on 4th of July.
So first of all, look, he obviously could have tweeted the item without a photo. Could have easily done that. Hey, just so you know, Pablo Sandoval's taking some ground as a third. The Giants want him to do some work over there. Maybe there's a chance he plays here this year. Forgive me, Murray. Sorry.
Sandoval shows up, taking grounders at third, not looking like he's in very good shape right now. Something like that, without a photo.
He could even leave the shape part of it out of it if he was really concerned about it.
Yeah.
He didn't even have to mention it.
Conditioning could use some work. Even there's a kinder way to go about it if you wanted to be that way. You know, just say that. Conditioning needs some work for Pablo Sandoval, who's taking grounders at third.
So let me tell you what happened. He tweeted it out there. It got the response it did. And he heard about it from the Giants. And he heard about it from people that want to protect Pablo. And they said to him, what are you doing? Did you have to tweet the photo? You made him look again. He looks like Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
No, I know.
I mean, I all joking aside, okay, and I'm not fat shaming him. I have never seen a baseball player look like that in uniform. Rich Garcia didn't look like that. Not even close.
David Wells didn't look like this.
Okay, this is the worst I've ever seen a major league player look in a uniform, what I saw from Pablo Sandoval. Secondly, and here's the part that does drive me a little bananas, and I don't know that the Giants would ever say this publicly. Jimmy, that Kapler cut, if we could play the very beginning of it again, I know I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but Gabe Kapler at the beginning says what, Jimmy? Go ahead.
I guess the one thing that I'd say is, like, Pablo's role on this team is to do what he's done over the course of the last couple of days and what he has done for this city and this community in the past. And that is to bring positive energy, get big hits, drive the baseball. And those are still the things that we believe he is capable of doing. And already in this short period of time, he's demonstrated. I have a lot of empathy for Pablo and what it must be like to be dealing with this kind of scrutiny. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Okay, so actually there's a part of a quote I read that's not in there. It was at the beginning of that, but that's okay, where he says, I'm not worried about Pablo. And I would say, you should worry about Pablo. In fact, if I were the Giants, I would sit Pablo Sandoval down and say, hey, look, we're not trying to alarm you or scare you, but there is data out there that suggests that if you don't control your weight, you are more vulnerable to this disease. So You need to take this seriously. And we're not telling you for baseball reasons, because we think that you can hit no matter what. You could roll out of bed and hit. But you might be putting your health at risk.
Yeah, it's a good point. Not even for long-term health concerns. It's for right now. It seems like, based on the data, that those that are overweight are more susceptible to the disease, COVID-19, and having to deal with real serious effects from it.
And this is a guy that has had these problems throughout the course of his career. He is massive right now. He's huge. Huge. I don't think I've ever seen a ball player look like that. I mean, I was stunned at how big he is. And look, we made a fun of Pablo while he's here. But again, I would tell you, somebody there who's got some sort of relationship with him, sit him down and say, dude, do you understand what's going on in the world right now? You need to buckle down. You got to be careful. And this thing is hitting camps, Murray.
Yeah.
It's not like the virus isn't hitting these camps. Again, the Red Sox now have four players who have tested positive. Four. And they have, what, 45, 50 guys in camp? So we're closing in on, you know, almost 10%. Like, that's a good-sized number. And if it starts getting into the clubhouse, forget it.
My whole thing, Matt, is that Pablo Sandoval stinks. Why are we even showing a picture of Pablo Sandoval? Like, last year, they show him pitching on the mound. A fat guy pitching. I'll fat shame a fat guy. But listen, like, why are we even looking at Pablo Sandoval? This is stupid. There's other players on the Giants there. So you just showed a picture of Pablo. The whole Twitter world went nuts about calling him fat. And then some guy probably said they said something to him. But you're right. Maybe they should say, hey, man, why don't you get a little bit of shape here? I feel like this is what's wrong with baseball this year. Or what's happened is that guys are going to I'm wondering who else showed up to camp looking like this. I bet you there are guys overweight almost at every single team because I don't think people really care. They're not going to make the money. And you just talked about earlier, are there guys who want to win or guys who want to play? I guarantee you that people are going to show up, and in about 2 weeks, they're going to say, this is a joke, and they're going to walk away from baseball. So, like, Pablo, make fun of him all you want. There's other guys who look like him, too, around the league.
So, I'll tell you, I do want to see what some of these guys look like in MLB. I do. I want to see what some of them look like. Some of them on the Red Sox. So, Pablo's an easy one to pick on because he's always been this way. But again, if I were the Giants, I'd tell him, Pablo, you gotta shed some, pal. If you get sick, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time. So start losing it rapidly because, I think we all believe that at some point most of us or many of us are going to get this thing.
Well, you know who's around his size and clearly doesn't care that's also affiliated with MLB? Joe West. Did you see his commentary today?
I have not, no.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't even believe, really, that the virus is a thing. He's ready to go.
Oh,
if baseball, I think I'm paraphrasing, but it's something along the lines of, if this game hasn't taken me down yet, no virus is going to get me.
No, yeah, no.
Good luck with that,
guy.
Joe West.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it sounds like a smart move. Yeah, totally smart move. 617-779-0985. I do have a couple of other baseball thoughts. One as it relates to the Red Sox. One is someone who used to play for the Red Sox, made a major decision in the last couple of days, generally being lauded for it or respected for it. We'll touch on David Price. We'll also get to something I saw with JD Martinez that opened my eyes after Joe Murray. Get you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mast.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mast.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I want to get to a couple things on the Red Sox quickly again. Opening day. Opening day. 17 days away. Tell me that's not ridiculous. Opening day, 17 days away.
And just by the way, for the record, too, and I hope that they're able to pull this off and keep it going. You know, I have my doubts. But did you see in the most Red Sox thing possible how many 7:30 start times that they have?
I saw that.
I mean, yeah, that stupid team really can't get out of their own effing way. Like, it's a baseball thing. It's a bigger MLB problem, but
7:30 starts. Like, just make it 7 like it's always supposed to be.
I know. That bugged the crap out of me, too, Murray. Obviously, it's got to be related to the fact that the games are solely on television. I haven't read anything about it yet, but I can't say that I invested a lot of time in that issue, but I did notice it. And I went, ooh, isn't that interesting?
Like, it's just, we have a tough time with emotional investment in our sport as it is. Let's see how we can make it more difficult. Oh, I know. Let's make the start times 30 minutes later than normal. Yeah, that's the ticket. Oh, you idiots.
Exactly. It should be earlier.
Right. You guys, 6:30.
At worst case, leave them the same. And then we can at least say, okay, well, that's what they always do. But you should have gone earlier. They went the other way. You're so right about that. Before I get to the Red Sox, Matt in Framingham. Matt, go.
Tony, you know what's the most hilarious part about this whole mess in Major League Baseball is? We haven't even got to the main event. I mean, for crying out loud, Rob Manfred and Tony Clark still have to hammer out a new collective bargaining agreement sometime in 2021. What do you think the odds are that those two guys are just going to look at each other and say, oh, you know what? I hope I wasn't too tough on you. Let's let bygones be bygones. I mean, give me a break. This could be a bloodbath, Tony.
Matt, it's already been a bloodbath. And thank you for the call. It's already been a bloodbath. Let's not kid ourselves. And by the way, you say they got to negotiate a bargaining agreement before the end of 2021. They got to negotiate one before the start of spring training. Otherwise, it might be a work stoppage. So, not to like rain on your day, but as if it could get any worse. Because again, Jimmy Stewart, we're living in 2020. With the motto is which? The motto of which is what? 2020 : where every day is a little worse than the one before it. And
we're never getting out of it.
Yeah.
I do love that. I don't know. Again, I don't know
why.
It should be a t-shirt. We should make bumper stickers.
It's too depressing to make it into a t-shirt is the problem.
Murray should get some ink and have it done on his back.
I mean, do you want to make a t-shirt? This is the worst year ever. That would sell, wouldn't it?
Oh, God.
Now, just quickly on that, I read some story recently that, you know, because tattoo shops are now open, at least in this area with phase 3, but have in other areas, like COVID tattoos are apparently a thing. People getting, you know, the actual, you know, virus tattooed on. Why would you do that? Why would you want to remember the worst time ever?
You mean the ball with the little spikes on it?
Yeah.
So that's like a big tattoo now.
Yeah, that's the hot trend in tattooing. Oh, I know. I'll get the COVID-19 tattoo. Oh, God. Why would you want to remember this?
Feels like a good one to get on one of your ass cheeks. That's what that's to me. That's the extent of that tattoo. The Red Sox items I just wanted to hit on quickly. One pertains to David Price, and God, do I hate to be a cynic in this case, and I'm not joking, because I heard you say this yesterday, Murray, but again, I just wanted to touch on it quickly.
Yeah.
If a guy doesn't want to play, he doesn't want to play. I don't know what he's got going on in his life. Price has all those allergies. Like, I have no idea.
Right. I forgot about that. I was just thinking about he's got young kids at home. I think the mother-in-law still lives with him, right? So, you know, you don't want to bring this crap home. Like, as much as David Price is a pill, and he is, and I think rightfully got on him for years here, you can't damn any of these guys if they want to tap out.
No, and I felt all along that we would reach a stage where the athletes might not want to come back. I did. I felt that all along. And the guys who make the most money have the least reason to come back. Because on the one hand, you say, well, wait a minute. David Price has given up $11 million. Yeah, but he's already banked 150 of it or whatever it is. So what's the difference at this stage? But I'll tell you where the cynicism came in with David Price. If you remember, and I think it was back in May, end of May, it was learned that Price decided to pay the minor leaguers in the Dodgers system for a month or two.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I did the math.
It was a month for about $1,000 a purse a player.
Okay. And I did the math. I actually made some calls on this, Jimmy. There were about 250 minor leaguers in every system. And so Price effectively committed to $250,000. Is it possible that part of the reason he did that at the time is because he knew he wasn't going to play and it would, you know, it would protect him from some criticism at, you know, if he didn't want to play, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Joe brought it up yesterday.
Oh, he did say this. Oh, yeah. Oh I missed this. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I think he had a shield is what we called it.
Yep.
Hey, listen, I guess, again, we can crap all over David Price. We can crap over Gordon Hayward not wanting, you know, leaving if he's going to have a kid. I'm sure people want to get into that, too, as well. But for David Price, You mentioned the allergy thing. We didn't bring that up yesterday. That's a good point. But overall, like, he gave those players that money, and people applauded him, right? They, oh, great, look at David Price. Look what he's doing. Wouldn't have done that when he was with the Red Sox, but he does it with the Dodgers. But the other thing, too, Naz, is just if you're a Dodgers fan, like, you know, I look at this as sometimes as the fan view. Like, here, the Dodgers, like, they're going to get probably how much time of Mookie Betts? Price isn't going to play. The Red Sox cheated. The Houston Astros cheated years ago. And if I'm a Dodgers fan, I'm pissed. Like, you know, you at least if it's for 60 games, you're the favorite to win this thing. You have a chance to literally be the best team in the National League, and David Price doesn't want to show up. And you just, like, made this huge deal. You traded half your farm system. And, like, if I'm a fan from on the Dodgers side of things, I'm pissed at David Price, and I'm pissed overall as a Dodgers fan. How many times can the team continue to take hits after hit?
I mean, I can't imagine the Dodgers are happy about it. Like, again, you know, you do make that sort of investment. But I also think that, you know, I wonder whether if the Dodgers win the World Series this year, aren't people like me going to look at it and say it doesn't count? Doesn't count. 60 game schedule. Yeah. A complete, you know, again, a complete asterisk all over this thing. Like, no shot. I'm not going to give the Dodgers credit if they win. I'll tell you that right now. So I separate the two, but I can understand if a Dodgers fan is agitated. Just quickly on JD Martinez, because I noticed this over the weekend when I was reading something. I think Peter Abraham of the Globe wrote it. And I read this comment from JD Martinez where he was asked about the universal DH. So remember that if and when baseball begins, and they are due to begin on the 23rd of July, which is now just 16 days away, there will be a universal DH this year. Now, there is no universal DH yet for 2021. Okay, next year they would go back to pitchers hitting in the National League. But the general belief is that if and when they agree on a new CBA, which is in doubt because we're talking about baseball here, but if and when they do agree, pitchers won't hit anymore, there'll be a DH all over baseball. So I was reading a group of people asked J.D. Martinez about it, obviously, because all these conferences now are done on Zoom. Oh, you have the cut.
This is Jen McCaffrey from The Athletic's question.
Okay, go ahead, Jimmy.
J.D., what are your thoughts about the DH in the National League? And obviously that'll be a big change for a lot of teams over there. But as someone that's made your career really out of the position, like, what do you think? How do you think that teams will adapt? And what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, you're kind of asking a biased person here, but, you know, I'm all for it. Obviously, I'm a DH. I think you could speak to a lot of pitchers that are for it, too. You know, a lot of pitchers like it, and a lot of pitchers in the AL like it because they feel like the pitchers in the NL have an advantage. You know, that's one less hitter that they have to face and one less elite hitter that they have to face, really, because of it. So I like it. I like to, you know, even the playing field across the board keeps the game fun. It's more offense, which is what fans like to see.
Okay. Am I the only one who thinks this guy is an epic fraud? What a fraud. Wasn't he telling us 2 years ago that he's an outfielder?
Yeah.
And even last year that he's an outfielder? That's all I'm an outfielder. I'm not a DH. I'm an outfielder. And you know why he told us that at the time? Because if he was a DH, there were only going to be 15 teams in the league that could pay him on the free agent market. So it limited his market. It limited his leverage. It limited his earning potential. So he told us he was an outfielder. Now they're going to go to the universal DH. And what does he say? Two sentences in. You're asking a biased person here. I'm all for it. Obviously, I'm a DH. Oh, isn't that convenient? So now all of a sudden you're a designated hitter. Now that, again, that helps the market. So it's really just about capitalizing on the market. It's got nothing to do with the label of being a DH or being an outfielder or anything of the like. It's purely about the number of teams that can bid on your services, which is fine. Which is fine. But just tell me that. Instead of, this is like the class, and he's a Boris client, which is another thing that pisses me off.
Oh, he's just he's an MLB player is what he is. He's a self-serving a-hole.
Oh,
like the rest
God.
Of them.
Please, Boris is one of the great chameleons of all time. He'll sit there and talk your face off. You could talk the shoes off a horse, for crying out loud. Boris will go on and on and on about how Jacoby Ellsbury's skill set had great value to a franchise. Then Ellsbury goes to the Yankees and sucks. Then he'll get some other player who has a completely different set of skills, and he'll tell you how that skill set is the most important in baseball. He just tells you whatever he wants to tell you so that you'll pay his client. It's the same kind of crap. Oh, God, it made me sick when I read that line from J.D. Martinez. It pissed me off to no end. I said, you've got to be kidding me. 2 years ago, the whole idea, I got to play the outfield. I want to play the outfield. I say 2 years ago because that's when he signed here. Last year was the same crap. He just wanted to play he wanted to play the outfield. Why? Because if he opted out of his contract at the end of the year, he wanted to be able to go to teams and say, I can play the outfield. That's what the whole freaking thing was about. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to make a universal DH in Major League Baseball, and J.D. Martinez doesn't care about being called a DH anymore. Oh, you're just so disingenuous. So disingenuous. Please, it's just about the number of teams that can bid on you. That's all it was ever about. It's got nothing to do with whether you like being in the field or not. It's just about how much money you can make on the market. Now, if I had the Red Sox, I'd be happy about this. Because there's now a better chance that he may actually opt out of this contract, which we wanted him to do last year, but he didn't. It could have saved them a lot of problems as it pertained to Mookie Betts, as it turned out. But the Red Sox should be happy. Yeah,
they could trade him too, right?
J.D. Martinez now thinks of himself as a DH, and this is good. So, there you go. 617-779-0985. We do have a line or two open. There's one other itch I need to scratch from the weekend. Felger would shoot me for doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. In fact, it might be even more of a reason to do it, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, when he's not here, it's carte blanche. We all know that.
Well, that's sort of my attitude. Yeah. It relates to golf, which, I know would drive Mike bananas, but I do have to touch on it because it's the only really live sporting event going on right now is professional golf. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was something that happened. I mean, nothing crazy, but I had a cameraman that was filming me after I hit a bad bunker shot and whiffed the sand a little bit, which shouldn't have done. That was dumb. But at the end of the day, you know, he was literally watching me the whole entire way up, you know, after getting out of the bunker, walking up next to the green. And I just was like, sir, what is the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand that, but it's his job to video me. But at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here compared to showing, you know, a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do.
I had to touch on this quickly. I don't know how many people are watching golf. I don't blame you if you're not watching, if you don't watch it on a regular basis. Murray, if I asked you, do you know who Bryson DeChambeau is? Do you know who it is?
I do, and that's only because I played with three guys today who wouldn't shut up about him because of his performance over the weekend. What was he, a minus 26 or something like that?
Yeah. So, again, any tournament that ends with a guy shooting that means it's too easy. I think he was minus 23, and the second-place finisher was minus 20. This used to happen down at the TPC in Norton all the time.
But besides, I mean, apparently, is he hitting the ball like more than anyone's ever hit the ball or something like that?
Okay, so Bryson DeChambeau, yes, he is the talk.
Because that's what all these guys were talking about. This guy's like driving like they've never seen anyone drive the golf ball before.
Okay, he's the talk of golf right now. Okay, he's the talk of golf because during the off season, he put on 40 pounds by eating just about anything he could. Most of it protein-based.
Is it 40 pounds?
Okay, so that's what I think.
Okay.
Okay, I think it's that.
Or is it Pablo Sandoval 40 pounds?
Okay.
Do you see it in his shoulders, in his neck, or is it in his gut?
This guy looks like he's been lifting.
Okay.
Okay, well, I mean, he looks like a long... pounds. Okay, so I think it's shady.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, I think there's something going on there. Okay? So that aside, I will say this, though. He's now number one in driving distance on the tour. I looked it up to see where he finished last year because I thought, I think this guy was in like 100th in driving distance. He wasn't. He was 35th, and he drove the ball over 300 yards last year. They all do now anyway. But even so, it's not like he was 100th. Okay, he was 35th, which I was pleasantly surprised. I was higher than I thought. But he's a crackpot. Okay, when I say a crackpot, he's one of these guys who's like a bit of a mad scientist. Up until this year, Bryson DeChambeau was known for being, you know, different. And I'm all for out-of-the-box thinking, and I mean that sincerely. You know, your irons in your bag are all different lengths. The higher up you go, the shorter they get.
Sure.
So your wedges are shortest, your three irons the longest. I'm explaining this to people who don't know golf. I mean, we don't do a lot of golf in this show. It's part of the reason you hit it longer is not just the angle of the club face. The club's longer. You generate more club speed. It's a longer whip. The arc to reach the ball is longer, so you have more time to get there. Okay? And then you generate more speed, so you hit it longer. This guy cut all his irons the same length. His theory was, I'm just going to take the same swing. The club head's going to determine the difference. And I think there's something to be said for that. And he might not be wrong. Okay, so he was, you know, he's a little bit of a different thinker.
So that's, okay, when I hear like someone's a mad scientist, it means it's like John Daly. They're getting hammered on the course or, you know, dropping acid before they play 18.
No, I mean, like, I think this guy sits there and studies the math and the metrics. And,
okay,
he's a... Again, he's a little bit of a different kind of cat, but that's okay. I mean, again, if you can come up with a way to win that other people don't or have not perfected, I'm all for that.
Yeah, whatever edge you can find.
Fine. And if you want to eat, you know, half dozen eggs for breakfast and then another half before you go to bed and all kinds of protein in between, along with whatever else you need to eat.
A wind stroll in the ass.
To hit the ball 330 yards or 400 yards or 50 yards or whatever it is, fine. Hit it. I don't care. The thing in the bunker, does this guy know we're in the middle of a pandemic and there are no fans at sports? Okay, he's in a bunker. He shows some emotion and he gets mad at the cameraman for shooting him because he showed emotion. And I think that we need to protect these guys. Or Jimmy, how did he phrase it again? We need to protect our players a little bit more and not show their vulnerabilities. It was something to that effect. So now it's the media's job to protect the players, the television partners. And he didn't even really do anything all that wrong. All he did was show emotion. So what, we can't show you get mad? We can't show you that either?
He's a stupid baby. And I'm sure the cameraman didn't say anything, but whoever the producer was or whoever, you know, is covering this should say to, you know, one of the heads of the PGA or just say to Bryson DeChambeau once the thing wrapped up, like, listen, we're just trying to make good television. And if you feel like you looked bad because you smashed your club or whatever, you dropped an F-bomb, like, so be it. Like, we're just trying to put out a good product and promote your sport, you baby.
I mean, to me, and he is the talk of the tour right now, DeChambeau is. Not that people are golf fans or whatever, but he's just hitting the crap out of the ball. And Murray.
Well, again, to your point, these three guys I played with today wouldn't stop talking about him for, like, the first nine.
And if you haven't seen his swing on the tee this year, you got to Google it. From his ass. He is absolutely winding up like he's freaking Happy Gilmore up there. I mean, his feet are spinning the whole night. He just winds up and absolutely tries to mash the thing. Does everything they tell you not to do. It's a fun story. Up until the point where you yell at a cameraman who's actually doing what he's supposed to do, which is showing you in your reaction out there in the course. Just quickly, last thing on DeChambeau, he's obsessive. The guy's obsessive. He's obsessive about the irons. He's obsessive about his driving distance and his diet. He's obsessive about the cameraman. Like, he feels to me like he's going to crack if he hasn't already. If that, because I think that's what that thing was over the weekend. He feels like he's going to crack. Anyway, top of the
hour. That's what I'm hoping for. That'll be good television.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as nobody gets hurt. 617-779-0985. Joe Murray will give you headlines here. Longest commercial-free segment. No break. Jim Murray's alongside. When we come back, we'll get back to Patrick Mahomes, that massive contract, and what it means for the Patriots in the NFL. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.